This is the Wednesday, June 2nd edition of the Daily Wager Podcast. We've got you covered with more NBA playoff action. Four playoff games tonight. And we'll also touch on a little baseball as well. In and out every weekday in less than 10 minutes.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Daily Wager Podcast, presented by DraftKings, America's top-rated daily fantasy app. I am Doug Kazarian alongside Joe Fortenbaugh, fresh off his day off. But Joe, you did make a cameo on the show yesterday, Daily Wager, with a little hoops action.
You know, I figured something out with that video yesterday as to why the magicians in this town are so successful. If you have a whole lot of smoke and mirrors, like I did in that one with my son hitting me with the squirt gun and climbing up the wall, no one's actually paying attention to what you're saying or doing. So no one realizes I missed on that Marlins bet because everyone was too busy keeping an eye on the cute kid. So maybe today it'll be a lot of sound effects and everything, and you won't even know what I'm talking about in an effort to avoid any possible losers sliding through the cracks.
I was just more impressed with the baseline Patrick Ewing-esque jumper that was all wet. So very nicely done. You know, long lost art of the mid-range jumper. So well done. On your part. Another big man in the news lately, and that's Joel Embiid. Unlikely to play tonight for the Sixers. This number's come down a little bit. It was kind of baked in the line where they thought he would because the injury is not considered super serious. But looks like he's a no-go for tonight's Game 5 back in Philly. Closeout game. 6 is your number. 229.5 is your total. Looks like we're on opposite sides here.
Trickling down a little bit. I would bet the Wizards here, but I bet them small. I'm not going to be the least bit surprised if Philly wins this game, but they look extraordinarily discombobulated without Embiid in the second half of that game. It almost looked as if Tobias Harris was trying to become the number one, and all he did was turn the ball over and miss shots. He looked awful. Now, I don't want to take that and say he'll look awful in this game as well, but we're talking about covering a pretty big number against a pretty feisty team. And Washington won that game by 8, despite committing 2 more turnovers and making 3 fewer three-pointers. So it's not like you go through the box score and you find this anomaly or outlier game. Washington was okay. Philly was pretty bad. And as a result, Washington won by 8. I don't think we're going to see a lot of Washington regression coming in this game. With Embiid on the court in the playoffs, the offensive rating for the Sixers is 138. That is an extraordinary number. But when he comes off the court, the offensive rating plummets to 100. Well below what dead last would be in the NBA. And the numbers are somewhat similar when you look at the regular season splits as well. So I think Washington probably has a little bit of life here. They see no Embiid. You're going to get a big pop from them. Wouldn't be surprised if they figured out how to win the first quarter or the first half, but I do like them +6 for the game. I think this is going to be very competitive.
See, I think the Sixers mid-game losing Embiid is going to be a lot different when knowing he's not going to be there. Like, they went through a stretch where they did not have Embiid and they were fine in the course of the regular season. Now, obviously, the Wizards are different. They can maybe sense weakness, if you will. I love the first half over. I think the Wizards will attack. Not having Embiid there is, I mean, look, you're going to have like Gafford and some other guys. Now, it's not like Dwight Howard's going to start. They're going to keep him off the bench. They're going to go small ball. And I also like the Sixers a lot. I think they're going to have a monster game from Simmons and Harris and everyone else. Now, I'm going to lay the 6 for sure. But I really like the first half over a lot. I think the Wizards are just going to be attacking, attacking, attacking. And I think we're going to see a lot of points. I really do. So I'm big on that game.
First half over, I can get behind that as well. One thing that would help your case more so than my case, obviously, and we didn't even mention this, but Ben Simmons was in foul trouble early in that game in game 4. And if that doesn't happen again, you're obviously going to have a much stronger unit on the court minus Embiid. So something to keep in mind as well. Like I said, doesn't help my case, but it does help yours, and it's a point worth making.
Yeah, and also, like, the game over, if you want to opt for that, you may get some hack of Simmons at the end that gets some extra possessions in, if you will. But I think if it's a blowout, then the Scrubs play the 4th. So anyway, let's move it on. We're going chronological order. Let's go to Atlanta, New York. Marv Albert's final Knicks game in all likelihood. Obviously significant. And we're waiting for Julius Randle to be uncorked. Maybe he doesn't, given the how the Hawks are defending him. I think we see a strong start from the Knicks. I do not think they're going to win the game. I just don't think they have the horses unless just all the players show up. But I think we're going to get maximum effort. No surprise from the Tom Thibodeau team. So I do like the Knicks in the first half, but I know you're opposite me.
We are opposed on this one as well. This one's been – I had this series wrong from the beginning. I liked the Knicks in seven. I thought it was going to be more competitive than it's been.
Not dead yet.
The Hawks have been much better. Not dead yet. Thank you for bringing that up. Not dead yet. But the one thing I was able to nail in this series is the Hawks in the first half, 4-0 against the spread so far. They've been hammering the Knicks out of the gate. They beat them in the first half by an average of 8.2 points per game, due in large part to how they're handling the second quarter. They've outscored the Knicks by 21 points in the second quarter of this series. Now, the Knicks coming home, facing elimination, do-or-die spot. They come out and they give you their all. But I think the same thing's going to happen with the Hawks. I think they smell blood in the water. I don't know if there's going to be any complacency here. So I'm going to find myself on this again. Now, I've been playing it bigger when the series was in Atlanta. It's not going to be as big a wager here, but it all comes down to Atlanta's defense, which I don't think we're making a big enough deal about. New York's defense was the story point all regular season, as it should be. But the Hawk defense has held the Knicks to 99 points a game, 40% from the floor, 32% from deep during the series. Maybe there's some positive regression coming, but Atlanta has been far better than advertised. I was dead wrong coming in early, thinking the Knicks were the better team. Atlanta has proven to be the better team. I'm still going to be on them in the first half here. You and I oppose, so we can do a juice-free wager to leave the books out of it, and we can go ahead and see how this thing plays out.
Yeah, I mean, we're forgetting how different this Hawks team is, and there's a lot of teams in this postseason that are very different than maybe their seeding would indicate what they battled during the season. I mean, since the All-Star break, the Hawks have been a much better team, and they're getting healthier, or they got healthy during the regular season. So this version of Atlanta, far superior to the one over the course of the 72 games. As we continue going chronological order.
Very, very quickly, I would like to mention that we've probably handed out two guaranteed winners since we've been opposite each other on the first two games. So there's a couple losers out there so far, but we have handed out two guaranteed winners as well.
It's up to you, the listener, to decipher which is which. Memphis, Utah. If this gets double digits, I'm taking the points with the Grizzlies. I don't think they're going to go away quietly. They've somehow, not somehow, but their youth has showed unraveling down the stretch of some tight games. I got burned. I was on the Grizz plus 5.5, and I got some second half money as well that pushed thanks to that Jaren Jackson meaningless three in the final minute. Either way, Memphis impressed me. I like the first half over. All four games in this series have gone over the total, but we've seen the total come up almost 10 points. I just think Utah can score at will, and I think Memphis attacks and doesn't mess around, and you're seeing a more aggressive Ja Morant. So I like game over. I like first half over. And I would take 10 if I could get it.
All right, good. We're not opposed here. I'm going to be on a first half wager as well, and I'll lay it with Utah, currently minus 5.5. They've overwhelmed Memphis in the first quarter for this series. They're winning every single first quarter. They're doing it by an average of 7.7 points per game. So they've had these great starts. But game one, they didn't play well in the second quarter. They end up losing the half. It's the only time they've lost the half the entire series. Now, that was without Donovan Mitchell. So since Mitchell's come back, the Jazz in the first half have been outscoring the Grizz by 12 points per game. Now, if this was just a small sample size, one series sort of thing, all right, maybe don't get too attached to it, like with the Hawks and the Knicks. But the Jazz were the best first half team in the NBA throughout the course of the regular season. They outscored the opposition by more than 5 points per game in the first half, which was number one. And at home, that number rises to over 7 points per game in the first half. Memphis losing both games in Memphis. I wonder how much is left in the tank, right? You're down 3-1. You're getting on a plane. You're traveling to Utah. I'd have to imagine if you're Quinn Snyder and the Jazz, the message is pretty simple. Do you want to fly back to Memphis for a game six, or do you want to close this thing out and get ready for the next round? Very obvious statement, but I think the motivation is going to be there. I don't think we're going to see complacency. They're going to fire for the gate. It's up to Memphis to lose this bet, I would say. If they come out hot and they start playing as feisty as they have been, I could be in some trouble, but I'm going to lay the 5.5 with the Jazz.
All right. We saw Boston start strong in the first half. Nets ended up pulling away down the stretch. Obviously, every game has its own separate script, so there's different outcomes there. Let's round it out with the only 2-2 series playing tonight. The other three games we've discussed are 3-1. Fascinating. Road team has won all four games here. The Luka injury, we're seeing this line creep up. Clippers have gone small ball with Batum goes the dynamite at the five. And obviously that's unleashed the Clippers offense and kept Zubac on the bench, although we did get a little Boban action last weekend. So anyways, my play here is first half. And as you like to say, Joe, I'm going to have an uncomfortable amount on this because
yes,
the first halves have been flying over except for the last game. And it still almost got there. The Mavs couldn't hit anything. And Luka's there bent over just in such visible pain. And the offense just wasn't clicking. If he's feeling that much better, this thing's going to fly over the first half. So I'm all about it.
I like that. And there's a lot pointing towards some positive regression for Dallas, which is one of the reasons why I'm going to take the 7 with the Mavericks, right? Let's look at the narrative. Dallas goes up 2-0 in the series. Everybody's writing off the Clippers. Same old Clippers, got to disband the team, got to fire the coach, choking in the playoffs like usual. Then they win the next two, even the series up, and suddenly it's, hey, here come the Clippers. Seem to have found something. They're really taking advantage of the opportunity. The reality is it's somewhere in the middle. They didn't play well early. They're playing well late. Okay, we don't need to overreact to it. But I think as a result of what we've seen late, we're getting a pretty good price with the Mavericks here at +7. So far this season, the Mavericks have only had 2 games, regular season or playoffs, in which they've caught 7 or more points. That's how rare this situation is. One of them was game 2 against the Clippers. They were +7 on the closing number. They won the game by 6, won it outright. The other was January 15th at Milwaukee. They were catching 8. They lost the game by 3, but they did cover the number. So this is a rare spot for them to be in. And they're coming off a game in which they shot 34% from the floor. That was the worst shooting percentage of all 76 games they played this season. They shot 16% from deep, worst shooting percentage of 76 games this season. They also shot 63% from the stripe, ninth worst shooting percentage of 76 games this season. I'm not saying they're going to be great tonight, but they have to be better. And it wouldn't surprise me in the least if the Clippers got a little bit complacent for a small portion of this game, simply because they've won 2 games and Luka's banged up. Classic Clippers, right? Failing to close it out. Maybe they do, maybe they don't tonight, but I think 7's a lot. I think Dallas is going to shoot better tonight. I think they're going to find some adjustments where other players have to step up to help Luka Doncic. I'll take the 7 with the Mavericks.
You're getting 7.5 at most shops. You've had a nice pulse of this series. I'd grab the points before I'd lay it too. I think Rick Carlisle will have some adjustments to the Clippers mid-series adjustments as well, but I think we're going to see some points here. First quarter over, first half over, team totals, the works. Give me the works. Sprinkle all the numbers a la the craps table. You have a baseball game as a parting gift for our listeners.
Yeah, 2 bets in the Orioles-Twins game tonight. The total's 9.5 runs. I play the over. The Twins team total is 5.5. I would bet the over there as well. Why? The dark night. Old Matt Harvey taking the mound for the Orioles. He of the ERA, 6.84. Now, you might see that and be like, all right, that's pretty lousy. Harvey has been awful as of late. His last 4 starts, he's only been able to go 13 2/3 innings because he's gotten rocked so bad. So just shy of 14 innings over his last 4 starts, giving up 23 earned runs. That's an ERA of 15.15. That's the ERA for the Dark Knight over his last 4 games. He's been getting rocked, and he got rocked in all 4. It's not like he gave up 8 and then 0 and then 8 again. He got cleaned up in all 4. Now he's going to take on a Minnesota team that is underwhelming as they've been this year. They're still top 10 in almost every important category when it comes to facing right-handed pitchers. Neither bullpen is all that impressive. They both rank 11th or worse in Major League Baseball when it comes to team ERA. So I like the Twins, who lost to the Orioles last night. I like them to fire out of the gates to get over 5.5 runs on their team total. And I also think this game goes over 9.5 because it's Randy Dobnak going for the Twins. His ERA is 6.49 this year. He's been hit or miss. Some good starts, some terrible starts. If he's just average tonight, it should be enough to get us over 9.5. So that's how we'll conclude it with some baseball action. Twins Orioles, the game everyone's looking forward to.
Yeah, I was going to say a lot of Orioles talk this week on Daily Wager Properties. They finally won. I'm a little disappointed. I prefer every loss, but, you know, you can go 1 out of 14. That's okay.
They won 5 games in May. That is incredible.
Yeah, we'll take that. No WNBA tonight. Had a strong performance. I believe I went 3-0 ATS, thanks to the buzzer beater from Kia Nurse. Buzzer beater certainly helped. I got a lot of Twitter feedback saying, oh, you had it all along. Hey. We just worry about the final score, you know?
That's all that matters, baby. It's all that matters.
My wings got there. It was a best bet, and then I got changed at the last minute. Don't get me started. It would have been my 5th in a row. Got to start over. I'm going to be muttering on my deathbed many, many years from now, just, Stanford Steve, I'm coming for you. Stanford Steve, I want coming for you.
Wandering the streets all dirty here in Las Vegas.
Completely.
Muttering
about Stanford Steve. They'll be like, dude, what are you talking about? All right. So that's going to do it for this pod. Thanks to everyone. Again, we always appreciate it when you rate, review, subscribe. Really helps us out with the analytics. And like we say, like we promise, every weekday, in and out, in less than 10 minutes. We'll see you tonight at 6 Eastern on ESPN2.